what's a car? All right. Amen. A car. Amen. While you're turning there, let me read a little something to you. This always helps me to break the ice. Because I don't know about y'all. I know there's probably some more preachers in here. I don't know what kind of preacher you want to be. I want to be an old-time, old-fashioned, shouting, stomping, spitting preacher. Amen. I don't like this newfangled junk. Amen. I'm not contemporary. Amen. I figure if you ain't got sweat in your socks when you're done, you hadn't preached. You just shared. Amen. And I don't like sharing nothing. Amen. Me and my wife go to somewhere and she goes, let's just get this and split it. No. No, you order yours, I'll order mine. And then what you don't eat of yours, I'll eat that. No sharing. Amen. But this says, I like the old paths. And we do. Amen. And I can tell already I'm in the right place. Said, I like the old paths when moms were at home, dads were at work, brothers were in the army, and sisters got married before having children. That's the old paths. Crime did not pay, hard work did, and people knew the difference. Moms could cook. Now, when I say cook, that means you know how to make biscuits. Amen. Know how to fry chicken. You girls know how to fry chicken? 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Amen. Moms could cook. Dads would work. Amen. We don't want any bums. If you're a bum sitting in here and you don't work, shame on you. We ought to get all the men and whoop you before we leave out of here. Just beat the snot out of you. Amen. So dads would work and children would be quiet. Husbands were loving, wives were submissive, and children were polite. That's the old paths. I remember there's 5 boys in my family, no girls. And every week go somewhere, people would always comment, say, you have the most polite boys. Man, we didn't have a choice. Amen. If you wasn't polite, Dad would kill you. He would stove your head in. Amen. So what we're lacking today is the old belt or the hickory. Amen. Let's just take a 10-minute break and just whip every kid in here. Y'all want to do that? About 20 on down. Man, we'd have revival here tonight. How many of y'all like to do that? Amen. There you go. Amen. You ever been somewhere and want to whip somebody else's kid? Y'all know Brother Drummond, don't you? Sorry about that. Brother Drummond, me and him was preaching together week 4 last, and he said he was in line at Walmart. And this little kid was in the cart, you know, whining, wanting everything, crying. And the mama had his head turned. Rick looked over and went, shot. And he went like this. So the little boy went. His mama turned around and said, I don't know what you did, but it quieted him down. I said, oh. Amen. That's what the kids need. Amen. I like the old paths when women wore the jewelry. Isn't that something? Oh, you ought to see it nowadays, traveling around. Something else. Amen. Boys got their little earring in. And little nose ring. Who ever put something in their nose on purpose? Amen. My pastor was in line one day at the grocery store, and a gal had a little jewel stud through her nostril. And there's an inside on that thing. You know, it's in there. My pastor looked and he said, can I ask you a question? How do you get a booger out of that side of your nose, Al? That's a legitimate question. Man, I'd be all the time. I spend most of my time trying to get something out of my nose. Amen. Women wore the jewelry. Men wore the pants. Harlots wore the paint and children wore the stripes. Women looked like ladies, men looked like gentlemen, and children looked decent. People loved the truth and hated a lie. Amen. I mean, they'd throw a fit. And man, you're up here in Massachusetts. And I've had, you wouldn't believe the people that asked me, where are you going next, Brother Mark? I said, Massachusetts. I said, well, tell Kennedy, you know, this and that. Hope I run into him while I'm here. Amen. Hope he comes to the meeting. Wouldn't that be a sight? Amen. Well, what a mess. Amen. I'm agin it. Amen. Said they would follow the pastor and ignore the world. They came to get in and not to get out. Hymns sounded godly. Sermons sounded helpful. Shouting sounded normal. And crying sounded often. Cursing was wicked. Drinking was evil. Divorce was unbelievable. You know, even when I was a boy, a little boy, you know, you didn't talk about divorce. It was a taboo subject. Man, nowadays everybody's doing it. Don't you do it. Amen. Stay right with God. Stay right with one another. Amen. I'm preaching my way through this. Amen. Y'all in a hurry? Five of y'all ain't no hurry. I like the old paths when to be called an American was worth dying for. To be called a Christian worth living for. And to be called a traitor worth fighting for. I like the old paths when cowards were shot. Is that harsh? It's meant to be. Amen. Deserters were hung and criminals sent to prison, not Washington. Love was clean, courting was watched, dating was going to church, and marriage was till death. A new birth meant a new life. Salvation meant a change. Joining the church meant that you would attend. The Bible was believed, not corrected. Sinners got saved, converts were converted, and the gospel was preached, not shared. Amen. So on that note, look in Psalm chapter number 16. We'll read a couple verses here, and then we'll throw a fit, and we'll go to the house. Amen. I got something to throw a fit about. You say, you preach like you're mad. I am. Amen. I'm mad at everything. Mad at you and mad at me. Amen. Mad at these teenagers. Mad at them. Amen. I'm getting reared up for camp, youth camps. I've got 7 youth camps this summer, so y'all are in for it. Amen. But I do. I love to preach to teenagers. Y'all go to camp anywhere? Man alive. I thought I was in an independent Baptist church. You need to. Amen. But look in Psalm chapter number 16. The Bible says in verse number 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Boy, aren't you glad you're able to say that tonight? Amen. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord. Now, do you see that? Amen. I don't know how much of that we really do nowadays. I know this much. I might not be a real spiritual man, but I know this. Whenever you do anything that's a blessing to God, He shows up. Amen. And I don't know how many times you've been around or in church or anywhere where He showed up, but it don't take many of those times to where you get addicted to that. Amen. So if there's a few of us sitting in here that maybe act like they're a nut. Amen. I mean, maybe there's some of these people over the edge in here. That's all right. Leave them alone. Amen. The Lord just may be pleased with that. I just figure He'd be more pleased with that than you sitting there like a deadhead. Don't y'all?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say, well, I believe it's fake. Well, I believe you're fake. Amen. Said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Anybody hear the Lord giving them counsel? My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. You see that? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I don't preach to a lot of people where that applies to them. You ought to see it from up here. I was in a church in Texas last year, and I preached at a lot of small churches. And I was preaching in a church that had about 25 people and had one section of pews like this right here. And there was a lady sitting about where you're sitting back there, and her husband, and she loathed me. I mean, everything I said, she just despised me. She'd look at her watch, and she'd roll her eyes, and I mean, she just, if she had to look at me, it was just in disgust. And I started Sunday and all the way through Friday. And by Thursday night, I come right here and I said, ma'am, why in the world are you even here? And when I did that, her husband, he'd be sitting there all week and he went like this. He went. He started going, get her. Say, why? He had to live with her. Amen. There's people sitting right here right now. I don't know. You look like you're miserable. Somebody has to live with you. Amen. It sure makes it a lot easier on them. Amen. Even if you faked it. Amen. But the Bible said, therefore, my heart is glad. Now, let me say this. This won't take, I'll get in my message here in a minute, but I got a lot of liberty tonight. Sometimes that's dangerous. But there's a lot of things I can't be. I'm not smart. Don't say amen right there. I figured I'd never be skinny. I even despise skinny people. Amen. Me and Brother Drummond, both of us combined, have lost about 5,000 pounds in the last 10 years. But I'll never be that. I'll never climb the social scale. I mean, even in Christianity, even in evangelism, I understand that. There's a lot of things I'm very limited on, but there's one thing I can always be. I can always be glad. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Amen. I'm glad I'm an American. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm married. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm getting ready to become a grandpapa. Amen. Amen. I thought I'd throw that in there too. Amen. But it says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now, do you see that? A lot of people talk about shouting. They say, well, that's just in the flesh. Well, right there it said, his flesh shall rest in hope. Hey, tonight, folks, if I wasn't in the flesh, you couldn't see me. Amen. You say, can you shout in the flesh? I sure can. Amen. I know y'all don't have baseball teams up here like we do down south. But I can go to Atlanta Braves baseball game and I can shout there. I mean, they all do the tomahawk, you know. You get 25, 30,000 people doing that. I'll even get goosebumps on me. They start stomping the things and I'm like, yeah! I mean, if I can shout there, surely to goodness I can shout here. Amen. Amen. So how do you do that? Just like this. Thank God I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm glad, thank God, the Word of God rescued me. Amen. Man, I can do that in the flesh. I don't have to have the Spirit leading me. Amen. And the sad part is you can do it too. But you won't, some of y'all. Because your nose is big and your feet stink and you don't love Jesus. Amen. I just thought I'd help you on all the stuff the preachers talked about me. Amen. Try to make it so. Amen. But I'm going to preach tonight out of verse number 6. It says, yea, I have a goodly heritage. And I want to preach tonight for a little while about our goodly heritage. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight, Lord, for all the goodness and mercy and long suffering that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you tonight for this church and God, these folks up here, all the way up here in New England. God, I pray you'll bless this church, revive it again. Bless the preacher, Lord, and fill him and use him. And God, encourage him and his family. And God, every home that's represented here tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here lost, make it easy for him to be saved. And God, help us, Lord, meet with us here this week as Jesse comes in. Prepare his heart, God, and use him. I've seen you use him in the past, Lord. Use him here this week. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I am passionate, I guess, about preaching on these sort of things. I have gotten disgusted today with some of the Bible believers because they act like they're anti-American. I am not. Amen. I am pro-America. America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Amen. I even like our president. Amen, amen. I'm scoping the crowd out. Amen. I'm mad at the Democrats. Just thought I'd say that up here. I'm on testing the waters. Amen. Mad at that bunch. But I'm glad I'm an American. Amen. And the heritage that we have, especially, boy, being up here in this part of the country. Amen. And knowing that a lot of our heritage started right up here where y'all live. Amen. But that's not the heritage I want to talk about. The goodly heritage I want to talk about here tonight is when you got saved and got into the family of God. Amen. You got into a heritage. Amen. And it's all of our responsibility now. Amen. All of the old Christians that lived before us, and all of them, I mean, up here in New England, if you read anything about church history and Baptist history, a lot of them old preachers hacked out their existence up here in this part of the country. Amen. And I don't know how and why. Maybe the Civil War and all that, it moved south, and they call that the Bible Belt. But this used to be the Bible Belt. Amen. And I'm telling you, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. And out of all the preachers and all the evangelists and all the people that we know and read about, now it's our turn. Amen. What are we going to be remembered for? Are we going to be remembered as the people that dropped the ball? Well, I don't want it that way. Do you? Amen. My mom, she was a foster parent. My mom had 5 boys, and then she had 26 foster kids off and on. And that's a handful. And my mom, she is, you know, the old country woman, and she was she'd go get them little foster kids. We'd have sometimes 2 at a time. We'd have infants from newborns to toddlers. We'd have white ones and black ones and brown ones and yellow ones. We'd have all different types. And sometimes my mom have 2 at a time. She'd have a little black baby going through the grocery store or Ben Franklin. You know, 30 years ago, people would stare at her and she'd just smile. Amen. And she went down to the agency one time and picked up a little toddler. And I don't know how old he was. I guess he was about 3 or 4. And he was a little black boy and his name was Sam. And he came to our home. He became part of our home. And we all named him immediately. We all named him Little Black Sambo. You say, that's racist. No, it ain't. Amen. He was black and his name was Sam. I mean, what better fit? Amen. But my mom went and picked him up. He was a toddler, but he still had diapers on. And the little fellow had been abused in the home, and my mom come in to get him. They was trying to change his little diety that he had on, and the people in there was fighting with him, and my mom came in. They said to put her hands on her hips and said, move out of the way. And she went in there and changed that little fellow and brought him home. And I remember when they brought that little fellow home that my mom always had a, you know, an ordeal she went through. She checked him out from head to toe because now they were in our trust. And I remember my mom, I was just a young kid then. I remember my mama saying, Junior, come here, hollered for my dad, and said, look here. And I remember my mom was crying. And, well, when mama cried, we all, me and my brothers, we all come in there to see what was wrong. And she had took that little fella's shirt off and his little britches off. And she said, look here, honey. Said, somebody's been mean this little fella. And he had little scars all over his back and on the back of his legs. I remember my mama hugging that little fella and kissing him.
And my dad just had tears in his eyes. And I remember my mama saying, "Oh, you don't have to worry now, son. You're in a good place now. Amen. You're in a place where you're loved now." And that little fella, he became part of our home. And that little guy, my dad, I know it's hard for y'all to believe, my dad's got a real loud, deep voice. My dad would holler at us boys, you know, "Mark, come here!" You know, and boy, he'd run and hide underneath something. He'd just shake and tremble. That only went a couple days. Then after that, boy, he had the run of our house. That little fellow, that's been 30-some years ago. I could get on the phone right now and call any of my brothers or any of my family, my mom and dad, they're both still alive. And I could call them. All they'd have to do is answer the phone. And all I'd have to do is go, "Hew, hew, hew, hew." And all of them would say, "Little Black Sambo." Because that's the way he'd do. Boy, he'd run through our house and he'd stop. And he'd just holler, "Hew, hew, hew, hew." Say, why, man? He found him a spot. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. This old world and the devil and drugs and all before I was saved, this old world beat me up. Almost had me all the way down. First time God ever dealt with me was in the jailhouse. I'm telling you, thank God one day I got adopted. Yes. Amen. I found, hey, I got a different family now. But this week, as far as I'm concerned, being in church, having revival meeting, there ain't no better place than just, amen. And I've got a goodly heritage. Amen. Let me say number one about our goodly heritage. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's my heritage. Amen. I'm saved tonight not because I turned over a new leaf. Amen. I'm not saved tonight because I'm a Baptist. I'm saved tonight because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody else here washed in the blood? There ain't nothing like it. Amen. I'll tell you, if you ever had a good blood bath, there ain't nothing like it. Amen. Have your sins all washed away. Start out with a clean slate. Amen. Some of y'all need that. Amen. I've learned this. Now, if you're writing stuff down, this is profound. He's going to get his pen. It's much easier to live a Christian life after you're saved. It's much. Amen. You wouldn't believe the people that are trying it. I got to where, you know, when you knock doors or talk to somebody or hand them a tract, I don't even ask them if they're saved anymore. In Alabama, everybody's saved. Amen. First thing I ask folks nowadays is, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? You ought to hear all the answers you get. Had a little gal not too long ago in Pennsylvania waiting on our table. I said, "Young lady, can I ask you a personal question?" She said, "Sure. What are you trusting in to get you to heaven?" She said, "I don't know, being a good person." I said, "Do you reckon that'll do it?" She goes, "No." I said, "Wouldn't that be good to investigate that a little bit?" And she got tears in her eyes. She goes, "It sure would." And we was after a revival meeting one night and had some ladies there, you know, some young couples. I said, "That gal right down yonder, she can take her Bible and show you how to be saved." And she goes, "I got a break here in just a few minutes. I'll be back." And I didn't think she was coming back, but she did. She took that apron off, come over there and sat down with that gal, and about 15 minutes, they were both on their knees, and she was crying. Say, what happened to her? She got washed in the blood. So in Alabama, we knock doors. We say, "Can we ask you a question? You ever been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ?" Amen. I mean, I care less whether you've been baptized. Amen. How about being washed in the blood? Amen. Maybe when you sing about the blood, it'd mean more to you if you ever been washed in it. We was knocking doors one day, me and my pastor. And we knocked on this door, and a guy come to the door. My pastor said, "Yes, sir." He said, "We're just kind of going around the neighborhood, find out if you got a church home." He goes, "Yeah, we go to church." And he goes, "Honey, where is it we go to church?" She said, "Faith Baptist." My pastor bumped, "That's our church." He bumped me, and he goes, "Who's the preacher they got down there now?" You know, he started the church. He going, honey, what's our pastor's name? She goes, I don't know. And my preacher goes, David Wood. That's me. Slam the door. You see all types. You ever knocked on the door? You ever went out visiting, knocked on the door, and you know, you finally ask the fellow if he ever been saved? Is he Christian? He goes, yeah. You know, yeah, I am. What are you judging me? You know, you're saved? Man, why come you act like a nerd? Well, why are you so happy about it then? You old coot. Man, I don't understand that. You know, and all the time, I've been in evangelism 16 years now, and all the time traveling, I've not had one person witness to me. Do you think the first time somebody comes up and witnesses to me, I'm going to bark at them? Why, yes, I'm saved. No, man, I will just pick them up and carry them around for a while. Yes, I am.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I sure ain't going to look at them and go, yeah, I am. I don't understand that. I'll get in a church service just like this, and I preach, I figure, the best churches in America. And I'll have people, I'll say, if you're saved and you know it, you can tell me, you can take me to the place where you got saved. Let me see your hand. And people go like this. They'll go. I'm like, what? Amen. I mean, I can't, I've got to think in my heart they ain't got it. Amen. I mean, I'm like, woo! Yeah, I'm saved!
That's right.
But somebody just, it's almost like, I don't get that. Amen. My heritage, folks, is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, you get singing about the blood, you're preaching about the blood. Amen. It'll stir the booger man up. Amen. I go to a church in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Anybody here know where Altoona is? Altoona, Pennsylvania. I don't, listen. Oliver B. Green said the Holy Spirit don't even go by there. The Catholic Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania is on 13th Street and 13th Avenue. The booger man lives there. I was there a couple years ago and I asked one of the fellows there, I said, you think we can get into that church and look around? He said, yeah, we probably could. He said, but I don't want to go in there with you. I finally talked him into it. We go up to the door. The doors of this thing looks like the doors to the Munster's house. I mean, you know, you think, dun, 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 dun. The doors are like that thick. And we go up and I said, man, let's pray first. He goes, why? I said, so the booger man don't get on it. We open, you know, big old huge doors, and you walk in that place dead as a doornail. They got little sinks at every door with water in it. Supposed to be holy water. And that guy, he'd get in front of me and I'd splash him. He'd go, hey, man, look out. Don't do that in here. Don't do that. I'm taking gospel tracts and folding them up, putting them in confessional booths and stuff. So ain't you afraid? No, man, that place ain't got it. Amen. That's not it. You don't get it by taking a cookie. The blood's is not wine.
Right.
Amen. The blood is imposed on the mercy seat up in heaven. And when I accepted Christ as my Savior, it came down and washed me of all my sins. Amen. I'm going to heaven now because of the blood. How about you? Amen. We was in a meeting one time in Delaware. And we was there and they had a girls' home there. And in the girls' home, there was a gal there that she was Pentecostal. And she had come out of the Brownsville Assembly Revival down in Pensacola. And you say, well, what do you think about all them folks? I'm mad at them. I'm mad at Benny Hinn. I'd like to whoop Benny Hinn. I would. I think the Lord would bless it. I'm not a bishop, so I can be a striker. I tell people all the time, Benny Hinn couldn't cure a ham. She come out of all that mess, and it's a mess. You know, they brought a baby that had died in a styrofoam cooler, and they brought it into that church to let that preacher see if he could raise it from the dead. He didn't do it. What was it, that baby? Lack of faith? You think it'd be the parents that come in there? You think it'd be their lack of faith? If they loaded their baby up that had died in a cooler and brought it in there? No, they're a bunch of crooks. You see them, tell them I said so. Kick them for me. Amen. But that gal, she came out of all that mess and she was in a service just like this. And one night I was preaching about the blood and she's sitting right where you're sitting. Her eyes rolled back in her head and she started jerking and her nose started bleeding. You ever met Brother Ryman? It was in Brother Ryman's church. And she got up and ran out, ran downstairs like y'all got downstairs. And Brother Ryman got up and followed her down there. His wife got up. They went down the basement. She's sitting cross-legged in the basement with her legs crossed, rocking back and forth. Her eyes rolled back and she's speaking in tongues and her nose is bleeding. And Brother Ryman grabbed her by the face. Miss Linda grabbed her from behind. He started quoting verses on the blood. And after a while, her eyes came back around. Say, what was that? She had a bad spirit on her. Amen. And all the false religion and all that. Listen, folks, our heritage, you got the right goods. Got the book. Amen. Sitting in church. Bible-believing church. Washed in the blood. We've got a goodly heritage. Amen. Don't be a sad sack. Amen. Let me say what else. You know what our goodly heritage is? The spoken word of God. Say, so what do you mean? Old-fashioned, old-time preaching. Thank God for it. Amen. You can take a temperature of a church, how it reacts to preaching. Amen. I knew before I come, because I've met Brother Piet before, but I knew. He told me, he said, man, you can preach anything here. I'm like, good. Amen. Bunch of nuts, probably. Amen. That's my crowd. That's right. But old-fashioned preaching gets the job done. How you react to preaching. I'll tell you what, you can tell whether or not I'm... Hey, it is the particular way in which God speaks. Whether you like it or not. Hey, you've got to have us. God pulled a trick on y'all. Amen. He called the worst among us to be the preachers. He said, I've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I've chosen the base things. Amen. How many of y'all are called to preach in here? See there? I rest my case. Amen. That's right. You know why he does that? Amen. So he gets all the honor and all the glory out of it. Amen. He calls guys that has nothing going for them. Amen. I mean, just on the bottom of the barrel, bottom feeders.
Yeah.
The catfish have to swim over them. Amen. I was with a friend of mine the other day, and me and him went to Bible school together, and I was preaching revival for him. He told me, he said, Brother Mark, I said, look, he said, I'm pastor, and you're evangelist. He said, these folks, they're going to have to listen to us tonight. He looked and he goes, we're in charge. You believe that? Amen. I mean, it is amazing.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's the preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
Thank God for it. Man, when I got saved, preaching started doing something for me.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it started going up and down the avenues of my soul. I had to have it.
Yeah.
Amen. And I like all types.
Yeah.
Y'all ever had a hacker in here?
Yeah.
Amen. You know what hacking preaching is?
Yeah.
That's when they almost get to ho-humming. Hell, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. It's good to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. You say, I don't like that. It shows. It ain't for unbelievers. Amen. Me and a preacher friend of mine, he was pastoring in West Virginia, in the mountains of West Virginia, and he had, I guess, about 160 acres and had some cows. And we got ready to go to church one night and getting ready to go out in his van, and there's a big old Guernsey cow right there at the fence. And it's staring at us like this. Staring at both of us. And I looked at that cow and I told the preacher, I said, I know her. I said, I've seen her somewhere before. I said, you have? I said, yeah. I said, I think I've preached to her somewhere before. He said, well, preach to her now. I went, hey, well, Carol, I'm telling you here tonight, you need to be born again. Amen. I said, what'd the old cow do? Just... I went, yep. I know her. We got in the van, was pulling out, and I rolled my window down, and I went, yo, heifer! That's what you call a cow. Some of you city folk. Amen. I think I was being disrespectful. But you ought to see it. You ought to see it. I'm telling you, folks, old-fashioned preaching, the spoken word of God, that's our heritage. Yeah, nice. And I just know by now, I mean, with the pastor you got, I don't think he's going to change. Oh, amen. What, you want some woman in here preaching to you?
No. The Bible says...
Joyce Myers. Men sitting there. Sickening. Joel, little Joel Osteen. You want somebody like that? Any man that goes and has his hair done at a salon? Huh? And goes to a tanning bed? That is not preaching. You know Larry King rebuked him? You ever read that transcript of that thing? He said, well, let me ask you. He said, you're a preacher of the gospel, right? He said, you believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior? He said, what if people don't trust Christ, do you preach that they go to hell? Well, we don't say it like that. Well, leave then. You're taking air we need. You're eating food that we need. Amen. Got one of the largest churches in America. Ugh. Aggravates me. Amen. So our heritage is preaching. And you fellas that are here, when a preacher gets up here to preach, help him out.
Amen.
It don't take much. I was in the church one time, dead as a doornail, dry as cracker juice. The Bible says many are called and few are chosen. In this church, many were cold and a few were frozen. Got up, you tell, nobody laughs. You know something's wrong. Amen. I mean, some people laugh just because other people are laughing. Amen. I mean, laughter's good. When you can't laugh, something's wrong in here. Amen. And you kids, I just about know what it is. You know what I'm preaching against now? MySpace.com. I am again it. Amen. No Christian. Listen, kids, do not have a MySpace account. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. It's wicked. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's taken the wind out of the sails of our teenagers. I was in a church not too long ago and preached again it, and we had 15 kids come to their Sunday school teachers and stuff, said, I need to get rid of that. I need to close out my account. I was preaching for a pastor in Oklahoma. He found out a way. You know when you have your space blocked, you think only you and your friends can go in there? There's a way you can bypass that. And that pastor found out, and he got in there and looked at all the kids in his church. And they got a Christian school. All of them dress right, walk right. He went and looked at their MySpace. He told me with tears in his eyes, said, Brother Mark, said, I was ready to resign. He said, them kids were conversing back and forth and their music and stuff they had on. He said, I felt like resigning. If you got a MySpace account sitting here, you parents need to go in and look at all of it tonight. Amen. You need to look in there and see what all the little nerd heads are writing and what they're doing. Amen. When they write in and they go to their space. Amen. Are y'all with me on that? We'd love to have revival if we got rid of MySpace. Amen. And the preaching, to get the kids sitting there and preaching, they just sit and stare at you. Get boys. Now, I don't understand the young man in church that preaching don't do something for you. You know, these young men are effeminate nowadays.
Right.
Preaching is masculine.
Yes.
I was in a barber shop the other day, and there's this boy come in. He had hip hugger jeans on. He did. He had girl's pants on. Do they wear them up here? That is the queeriest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. I sat in the cross and I was reading, you know, a hunting magazine. I look up and this kid walks in and I'm like this. He's got his girlfriend with him and he sees me over there and he gets her jacket and puts it over his waist and stuff as he's sitting there. Because he was uncomfortable with me being there. I'm sitting there looking at him going, I felt like saying, you got girls' clothes on? You wear girls' pants. It's hard telling what else you got on. Amen. So what are you saying? I'm saying old-fashioned preaching. But I was in this church, and everybody one lady on the second row from the back, she would look around, wave her little hanky. She'd wipe her eyes. She'd smile. She'd go. I never heard her one time, but she was with me. She'd look around, and man, if I was preaching, I'd have to find her. Amen. Me and her had a time. Amen. And it shows here, but man, you preach to folks a few times, you can tell who likes preaching. Amen. If you don't like preaching, where do you, what happened? How's come you don't? What are you watching or what do you got? What's filling your life up where you don't? Amen. Old-fashioned preaching. We got the old preachers we talk about. I got some of my heroes, old Brother Lanny Hasbrook, Brother Jack Wood, some of the old preachers that were, man, they were instrumental in my life. Brother Jack, he'd preach and he made me want to fist fight when he preached. I mean, I was just ready to go. He'd shame you while he's preaching. Oh, you little sweetie little. Said they picked him up at the airport one time, him and some other preachers. Said he's sitting there, and you'd have to know Brother Jack. And he'd sit there with his head cocked like that. And said one of the guys in the back was complaining about all the problems he was having in his church. And the guy said, I don't know, man. I'm just figured I'm resigning. So Brother Jack looked back, and he goes, well, just quit then. That's that old-fashioned stuff. They said one day a friend of mine, you know Brother Metters, Dan Metters? Was he just here? I don't know if Brother Dan told you the story or not. He tell you a story about going, seeing Brother Jack in his office one day. Said he knocked at the door of the house. Miss Wyvon comes to the door and he says, preacher here? Said, yeah, he's in his office. Said, just go on in there. Said, don't knock on the door, just go on in. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the preacher's office or not while he's in there. It's kind of a spooky place. Amen. And he goes in, you know, he's looking at her. She said, just go on in, don't knock. He opens the door there in the house, and he's got his office. Brother Jack's sitting at the desk looking out the window. Said, don't even acknowledge Brother Dan coming in. Brother Dan comes in, and he just sits down in the chair there next to the wall. Said, he's just sitting there. Said, Brother Jack hadn't even looked at him. Said, haven't even acknowledged him coming in the room. Said, he sat there for 10, 15 minutes. Brother Dan said, I'd sit in there and just started weeping. Started crying. He said, Brother Jack finally looked over and he goes, he's been here all morning. He said, don't you do nothing to run him off. That's the old path. Amen. Let me ask you, this meeting here this week, have you gotten hold of God this week for this meeting? It'd sure be a shame for somebody from Alabama to come in your church and be more concerned about it than you. Amen. That'd be a shame. It'd be a shame for me to come in here and have all the fun shouting this week. I'm planning on it. Amen. See, when you come to a church for the first time, I've got all my favorite messages I like to preach. Amen. I'm just going to have a time. Amen. But the spoken word of God, that's our heritage. I'll tell you what else. And I'm going to hurry through here. the sacrificing soldier. That's our heritage. Amen. Somebody was talking the other day, I think it was Mitt Romney. He's the Mormon guy running for president. You know, they make all their tours and they go around for candidate and all that. And they went to the big hospital that all of our fallen soldiers go to when they come into the States. I forget the name of that place. But they said they went in there and there's them boys in there with no legs, arms gone. You know, man, they've been blowed up by them bombs and RPGs and all that. And that Mitt Romney was telling somebody, said, you know, he said, we went through there all day and met all them soldiers. He said, I never heard one of them complain. He said, not a one of them offered their disdain for American politics. Not a one of them said we ought not to be there. Not a one of them. He said, all of them, even some of them that were limbs were gone, saying, I wish I could go back. He said, the only thing I hate being in here is my buddies are still over there and I'm stuck here. You know what that is? That's that old soldier mentality. Me and Brother Danny Hall, y'all know Brother Hall? We was in Value City. Y'all got Value Cities up here? That's where y'all go buy all these cheap suits. You get them for like $60. Amen. You know, they last about 6 months. You'd be preaching one day and they just come unravel. A sleeve falls off while you're preaching. But we sitting in there and we was waiting on the women. It took us about 10 minutes to do all the shopping until we was completely wore out. And then we're sitting on the bench waiting for them. Well, we're sitting there and this older gentleman comes in, him and his wife. And he's an old black man. And he come in and he had a World War II veteran's hat on. It said Iwo Jima. He come in and he says, I think I'll just sit here with these young men. And I stood up and shook his hand. I said, sir, were you at Iwo Jima? And he said, oh, yeah. And he took his hat off, and he's bald-headed, and he had a big dent in his head right there. And he says, I brought me back something with me from there. He said, I've got shrapnel right there in my head. I looked at him, I said, can I touch that? He said, sure, go ahead. I put my hand on there. He's a little old short man, little old man. I put my hand on there, and I said, thank you, sir. Thank you for your sacrifice. And I looked, and a tear ran down his face. I give him a hug. He hugged me back. Me and Brother Danny hugged him. We all cried in there. Amen. That's been 50-some years ago. I said, what is that? That's a sacrificing soldier. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's people sitting here tonight that I don't know. I don't know y'all, but I know one young man made a sacrifice to be here tonight. Hurting, been in the hospital today. I know this. God's people are the best. Even when all hell's breaking loose. Amen. Traveling around now in evangelism like I do, you just wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe the troubles and trials that we see. And they just keep on going. Keep on going. I know preachers right now that if you looked at all the circumstances on the outside, you'd say, how in the world do they keep smiling and shouting? I'll tell you why. We got a heritage. Amen. We got a Savior. All this is going to be over not too long. Amen. And let me say this, last of all. You know what our heritage is? Shouting saints. Amen. Hey, you might as well get used to it. Amen. You are in a shouting, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. You might as well just go on and take the plunge. Amen. You might like it. Amen. Do y'all remember when you shouted for the first time?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, amen.
I got saved. I was an oddball. I went to Pensacola Bible Institute. And you got to be careful where you say that at. But I got saved under Dr. Peter Sturgis Ruckman's preaching. I was an oddball. I didn't go there to go to Bible school. I went there lost. Got thrown in jail, lost everything I had. I'll tell that later, but I remember I got saved and got in there, and those folks down there then in 1982, I'm telling you, some of those, they'd throw song books up in the air, they'd run the aisles. And man, I'm telling you, that'd stir you up, that singing. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Man, I'm telling you, we'd start singing that. It'd almost lift the roof off, and they'd start jumping, throwing songbooks up in the air. I was sitting there one night. There goes Brother Ryman. He's running around. He grabbed one of his kids. You know, hallelujah. You know, he's a nut. He's bona fide. Amen. Me and him will be together next week in a meeting. And I was sitting there, and a guy was sitting in front of me. He was a Bible student. And he was sitting there, and he turned around. He turned around. I won't break nothing there. He turned around like that to me, and he goes, "Hey, McGahee, when are you going to do that?" Man, I hadn't been saved long. I'm like, "Buddy, I'll thump you right in your head." But you know, then I'm sitting there and I'm watching all these guys run. And I look around, there's Brother Ryan. I said, "Man, I'm just as saved as he is." I know I'm saved. Amen. I just said, "I can do that." I stood up and I went, "Thank God I'm saved. Woo!" Sit down. Nobody even looked at me. It wasn't no big deal. You ain't as important as you think you are. You afraid what these people think about you? Have you looked around in here? I said, "Well, I don't know if I stand up and shout or if I say hallelujah. What would they think? Who cares what these people look around in here?" I mean, a lot of these folks are shouting amen just because it's time to shout. Amen. One preacher said, you know, when the preacher stands up and shout like they're in a song service, you know, that's a good time for everybody to stand up and shout. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't know about all." It shows. I remember being at Charity. I don't know how many years ago it was, but my daughter got saved at me. We had 30 teenagers saved in one service. I'll never forget it. And boy, I'm telling you, God moved in there. Brother Estep got up and he said, "I don't know what we do now. There's 300 people in there." He says, "I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to just thank God for him showing up." And my girl had gotten saved, and man, we was all beside ourselves. Brother Nagowski, they was all shouting. You could hear something going poof, poof, poof. You look back and he had his head beating it against the wall. You say, "Why? Who knows?" You'd have to know Bad Bob. But everybody started praising the Lord, and I am not charismatic, but I'm telling you, I was sitting next to Brother Earl Hughes, and we was all standing. I looked at Brother Earl, and I said, "Brother Earl, you ever seen it like this?" He goes, "I ain't never seen it like this." Folks, there was a literal fog in the church building. If it had lasted 30 more seconds, I would have died of a massive coronary. Then they started playing Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. I'm like, folks, that's my heritage. Amen. I got one of the biggest blessings I've ever had in my ministry. Back in January, I got to preach one of my mentors' funerals, Brother Dan Gilbert. Did you ever know Brother Gilbert? Brother Gilbert, he's an old preacher. He was 80 years old when he died. And when I got saved, he was more excited about when I got saved and called to preach than my own family was. And I remember when I got saved and got in church, he found out that my dad, I didn't have nothing. I had no car, no nothing. He found out my dad gave me $600. And I bought an old Plymouth Fury to drive around. And he walked up to me one day and he reached in my front pocket and stuck something in there. I said, "What's that?" And he goes, "Oh, I just want to help you." I thought it might have been a $10 bill, $20 bill. You know, this was 1982. And I reached in there and it was a wad of 100, it was $600. And folks, I'll be honest with you, I did not know people did stuff like that. I looked at him, I said, I can't take this. My dad, I afraid my dad would whoop me if I took this. He goes, no, son. I said, I'm giving that to you. I never forgot that. He was, boy, he was an old preacher, man. He was a war hero. He's a World War II veteran. He was a paratrooper, Normandy. Purple Heart, Silver Star recipient, Normandy. Got shot with a German machine gun up his arm at Normandy. Fought at the Battle of the Bulge. I got to preach his funeral back in January. Went to the gravesite. They had the full military honors, playing the bagpipes and all. I'm telling you, have you ever been to a military funeral where they fold the flag up and they hand it to the wife, the widow? I was about this close, and that they folded up that flag, and that soldier, he got down on one knee, took her by the hand, and with tears running down his face, he goes, ma'am, on behalf of the President of the United States of America, I present this flag to you and thank you for your service to our country and your husband. Man, we's all bawling and squalling. And I got to preach his funeral. And he died in January, and he died on a Friday. And his pastor said on Wednesday night, he's in church waving his hand, shouting and crying in the Wednesday night service. I said, that's the way to go out. But he wrote this poem in September of last year. And this is what the old preacher man said. The shout is torn from a thankful heart. It's not upon my lips it starts. When God fills my heart until it's apt to burst, then shout or sob, jump or run, it's whatever gets there first. You ever been there? I'm afraid sometimes I'll hurt somebody. I cannot hold myself in check when I remember all he's done. The pit, the peril, and the life of wreck, now joy and purpose through the sun. Now when you see this old man shout and exhibit joy and praise, just remember where he found me and how he brightened all my days. If that's not enough, listen, for I speak this to every man. When I'm finished here, I'll tell you of my retirement plan. Not a nursing home, but a mansion built by God's own perfect hand. And reserved for me by Jesus. There's no graveyards in that land. So how can you keep from shouting when you're reminded by the book, when we sing of grace and mercy and the suffering that he took? You answer me that. How can some of you keep from shouting? How come you ain't never shouted? You say, well, you think it's wrong that I ain't never shouted? Yes. Amen. You say, oh, it's just because you just get back in shouting. Amen. I've got something to shout about. Say, why? Are you saved by the grace of God? I'm going to heaven for a while. As long as God wills. Amen. I've got something to shout about. Amen. I've got a heritage. Amen. How about you? Do you? Out of all the Christians that's lived, it's your turn now. You girls, how old are you? 15, the next 5 to 7, 8 years, you're going to make the most biggest decisions of your life. My little girl, she's 21 now and going to have a baby. And all of what she is in her heart and all the preaching that she's heard, and it's all going to be passed down now to my grandson or granddaughter. Amen. Our heritage. We have to keep our heritage going. Will you come tonight? Will you come? We have a goodly heritage. That's the message. And let me say this. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is your church. This is your town. These are your kids. These are your grandkids sitting here. This is your revival meeting. You get as much out of it as you put in it or ask for. Why don't you come tonight? Let me ask you this.